Leviticus chapter 5, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of an oath and is a witness, whether he hath seen or know of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. In other words, if a witness sees or knows something, but withholds the truth to the damage of others, that is a sin of omission. It's the sin, a sin under the category of failing to do something that is correct. Verse 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it is wherewith a man shall be defiled, and it be hidden from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. A person could become ritually polluted without being aware of it. If he unknowingly, for example, touched a dead body, he would be unclean, whether he knew it or not. Same thing happens today. Believers today can become unclean without realizing it as well, by exposing ourselves to things that are not good. We see, we hear things that defile our souls, and sometimes never even notice it, at least not right away. 4. Or if a soul make an oath, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it is that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hidden from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. God's talking about careless speech here. Someone promises to do something but doesn't do it. You know, talking about glib speech. Talking off the top of our heads. Making statements and never intending to follow through on what we said. That's wrong. I mean, people do that to God too. You know, we sing songs that promise God total dedication, and as soon as the song is over, close the hymn book or turn off the projector and completely forget what we have said as if it didn't mean anything. It does mean something. Words mean something to God, and we have to be careful. 5. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. So once a person became conscious of his guilt in any of these areas, he was responsible to confess it and bring the Lord a trespass offering or a sin offering. Now, the difference between the trespass offering here in verse 5, which is what the examples given since verse 1 fall under the category of the trespass offerings, it seems to be one of the main differences anyway, is that the sin offering was given for sins of commission, doing something wrong, whereas the trespass offering covered sins of omission, failure to do the correct thing. Two categories of sin in Scripture. Verse 7. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves, or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And this was a poor person's sacrifice. One of the birds was for a sin offering, and one was for a burnt offering, the Bible says. The sin offering represented the work of Christ on the cross, paying for the trespass, paying for the sin. The burnt offering represented the person of Christ, who was completely dedicated to the Father, without sin. 8. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. The head was not completely removed from the sacrificial birds. But it's important to notice that blood had to be shed. And it might not have been much blood, but blood had to be shed. And it was ugly. I mean, taking a bird and wringing its neck, that's an ugly thing. It's ugly to kill anything. But sin is an ugly thing, with ugly consequences. And God wasn't hiding the consequences. He was trying to illustrate the consequences. Death is a result of sin, and sin is ugly to God. 10. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the custom, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath committed, which he has sinned, I should say, and it shall be forgiven him. So even though the sacrifice was just a little bird, the sinner was forgiven. You see, the important thing wasn't the market value of the bird, but the fact that the sacrifice pointed to the cross of Christ. It's what it pointed to. That's what gave it the value. The basis of the person's forgiveness is what Jesus would someday do on the cross. The fact that he brought the offering, whether it be of an animal or of a bird, showed that he had faith that that sacrifice was someday coming. 11. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meal offering. The very poorest of the poor were not excluded from an offer of forgiveness. If they couldn't afford even a couple of birds, they could bring some grain, and the offering still acted as their substitute. Verse 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish, out of the flocks, with thy valuation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. If a person unintentionally violated the Lord's holy things, he was to bring a ram, which was worth at least 2 shekels. And the sin referred to here may have been that of improper use of sacrificial meat or grain. It could also include failure to give God tithes and offerings or dedicated things. It would also include failure to keep a vow to God. Verse 16. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing. See, it involved holy things, things pertaining to God. and shall add a fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him for a trespass violation, restitution, plus 20% fine had to be paid. That's in addition to the sacrifice that was offered. 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Just ignorance of the law was no excuse. Sin is sin. Now, sins of ignorance were less serious than willful rebellion. The Bible does teach that. Verse 18, and he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy valuation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And so again, God is saying ignorance of the law is no excuse. If anyone unknowingly broke a commandment of God, he's still guilty. He's still accountable. And when he discovers it, and then he feels the guilt, he's guilty. But when he feels the guilt, because he became aware of that sin of ignorance, that's when he needed to bring an offering and ask God for forgiveness. And the same thing happens today, you know, with Christians. When we sin, we may not intend to sin, but when we sin, the Holy Spirit is right there making us feel guilty, convicting us. And as soon as we feel that Holy Spirit-inspired guilt, immediately we should confess our sins to God and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Don't put it off.